Hey, Tampa Bay, it's your greatest host for the weekend show, Jeff Stanislow, on That Is Good to Know. Thanks for tuning in to AM 1040 here on the weekends and joining our show. We are trying to share some wonderful information from a lot of different people in a lot of different venues of skill sets and capabilities. Not just doing one theme thing every weekend where someone talks about cars and different cars and cars and cars and cars and cars. We explore a lot of different things from, you know, business professionals, attorneys. We have consultants. We have health and wellness people. We have lots of different people we're talking to. And today I'd like you to welcome my guest, Kyle King. Kyle is with KDI Media, and Kyle is industry veteran in the web development services. And Kyle actually works for a company that I'm a part of, and it's that I own as a chief internet marketer. And so Kyle does a lot of the web development for the company. And I thought it'd be a great conversation to have today to kind of, you know, kind of maybe revisit where the web is, you know, what some of the things that are going on. We have a whole new class of stuff that coming to us with AI, what impacts that make on the industry, and, you know, lots of great information. Again, the whole goal of the show is after you listen to us rant and rave and talk that you just say, wow, that was actually kind of good to know. And then our job satisfaction rating goes way up. Again, thanks for joining us today, Kyle King from KDI Media and Chief Internet Marketer.
Hey, Jeff, it's great to be here.
Yeah, thanks for joining us, Kyle. We've been doing work together for several years now, and you know, the internet is changing every day, and we can't. Sometimes it seems like it's so impossible to keep up with everything, but. What I want to do is, you know, just kind of give some of the listeners your background, you know, why you kind of got into the web development industry and how long you've been doing it and, you know, what your particular skill set is and how it fits into the overall, you know, web of sphere of things. And then maybe like, you know, like what, when you started, what you thought it was going to be. You know, where you think it's at now, how you fit in, and then where you think it's going to be in the future and how you're going to fit in. So that's a lot to unpack there, Kyle, but you're a smart guy, so you can make it happen.
Yeah, absolutely. So, I've been doing website development since 2012. It started off as a project for a company that I was the tech support person for, and they just had a lot of website issues, mainly from their original form integration. It didn't have validations for the different fields. So that's pretty much where I started. My background actually originated in technical support, building computers, maintaining them, handling network infrastructure. And, you know, that just... that got to be a little bit much. You know, you can spend 5 hours on one computer because it has a virus on it. Website development ended up being something I excelled at quite a bit more and just found a lot more enjoyable.
So
as far as
the kind of technical infrastructure, you know, being able to solve solutions, working with computers, working with programs and, you know, things of that nature. And but part of the challenging time is actually maybe not visually seeing the success of your work. So you transition to doing some website design, kind of probably just helping out your client and found a passion for it.
Yes, absolutely. I mean, if you can have a single virus that completely cripples a system and you spend hours trying to get rid of it just to find out, oh, I have to start everything from scratch and then, you know, spend hours backing up all their data. And it got to be a bit much. And as far as web development goes, you know, you can see your progress as you're making it. Whereas standard tech support, a lot of times you really can't see your progress until you've hit your end goal.
Ah, I see. So what? Tell me a little bit about you got started in 2012 doing web and kind of took a liking to it and what have you. You know, what did you think it was going to be back then, and what do you think it is now, and what's kind of changed? And then tell me a little bit about thoughts on your future of the web development, web building industry.
So originally when I had started, it was standard HTML, CSS, JavaScript, and it was all hand coding. And I was introduced to WordPress, and this is back in the earlier stages of WordPress. So it wasn't as robust as it is now. And it really took a lot to find any kind of an interest in it. But over time, it has actually grown quite a bit to make things a lot more streamlined. You have pre-made templates, themes, and you can make plenty of customizations to those, but it really makes things a lot easier, especially let's say you have a large image that you upload and the person wants that image cropped. You can actually crop that image in the background or in the WordPress admin area versus, let me open up one of the Adobe Suite softwares and crop it and compress it and do this and that. That can all be done on the back end now, which is amazing. Just the different integrations that they have, and now with forms, there's a built-in validation, so you don't have to sit there and spend an hour per individual field on, the name can only be this long, it can't have symbols, or it can't have specific symbols, or right. I only want numbers in this one. And I mean, that was not exactly difficult, but it did get to be time consuming.
It's interesting, but Kyle, my experience in the web development industry actually predates yours. I originally am from Detroit, and I worked on some of the big three manufacturers' websites and kind of built first websites, back in the late 90s for a lot of companies. And I remember we had a team of people. We had a designer that had to design the site from look and feel, and then we had kind of an HTML person or a slicer person that would actually go through and like slice each image. And then we had a programmer that would have to take it all and code it and do the HTML code and bring it all together and make sure all those things work. So you had a team of, four or five people to build a website back in the day. And I think the one of the biggest innovations that have come forth is the content management systems that are available to us today, such as WordPress or Wix or things of that nature, which do a lot of that work for you. Would you agree?
Oh, absolutely. It's really come a long way. I think one of the biggest jumps was when HTML5 was released. I believe that was 2012, 2013, where they actually added in self-validation, but that's now all built into all of these CMS systems, which it has the HTML5, but then you have the older browsers. Some people are still using, Windows XP, and the highest version of Internet Explorer they can use does not work with HTML5. So then you have the JavaScript backend, but then you have to account for multiple other things that could come up, like if they have JavaScript disabled, then you have to validate through PHP. And these CMS systems make it so much less complicated because it's all right there. It's all built in. It's all handled to where instead of spending 3 hours building a form, you can have it done in 10, 15 minutes along with built-in styling. So it already looks great.
Yeah. I remember those days of trying to get the forms to work and then, making sure that, they add the emails to submit it. And, it was just, it was quite a process to do that. We're talking with Kyle King, and Kyle is with KDI Media. Kyle is a web developer with nearly 15 years of experience. And we're talking about websites and building, building the website of the future and what it takes. But along with those advancements, Kyle, I'd like to say is like became a new breed of web developers. I think we call them WYSIWYG designers or so. They're tool developers. And so maybe talk to us a little bit about your ability and maybe just a tool user and, what the differences might make for someone who's considering, maybe building a new website or, hiring a company to help them out.
Yeah, absolutely. So there are multiple tools. As far as themes go, there are, of course, the free themes. Some of them have started using their own builders, but WordPress has actually come out with their own built-in. I particularly am not a fan of it just because it doesn't offer the customization abilities that I prefer to have. My personal theme of choice is called Divi, and that's by Elegant Themes. There is another one that I also like to use. It's called Xtheme by ThemeCo. Those are typically my two go-tos. They both have developed their own WYSIWYG editors. But then there's also Elementor and WP Bakery. Okay. I've used those in the past, but not too often. As far as, for image compression, there's EWWW, which you upload an image. If you have the settings set properly, it will automatically compress it losslessly. Then you have your form plugins. Right. There's contact form.
You're getting into the weeds there, Kyle. We're gonna have to bring you back. That is good to know. This is not like I'm gonna be a web developer. So
my apologies.
Oh, no problem. I know it's easily done, but that's my job is to keep things on the top level so people can understand and come out of there with something that says, hey, that was good to know. And I heard that from Jeff Stanislow on the show. Hey, don't forget to check out our website, www.thatisgoodtoknow.com. And actually Kyle built it, along with myself, and he maintains it. So thanks again, Kyle. And that's www.thatisgoodtoknow. We appreciate your support here for the radio show and doing that. In building that website, tell us a little bit about the things that you did that were special, specifically for, That Is Good to Know and what you like about it.
So this was the first site that I had done for a radio type show. I was able to basically set it up for the blog posts would be the episodes, which originally was what WordPress started as, was for blogging. Have it set up to where I can upload the audio files and have those organized well enough to where I can find them easily and have them posted on each individual post, which would be the new episodes. There's also the curator, which can pull in latest headlines for additional news. And just making sure everything runs smoothly, but a lot of what needs to be done is the compression. There's also the tools used for all of the different images, like the background images for specific, or the featured images for specific episode information. So this one would be for website development, or then there was a couple of previous ones for golfing. And, making sure you find the right size so that it doesn't come out pixelated. It has a very nice, smooth feel to it. The key, though, is making sure everything is optimized as well as possible.
Yeah, I agree with you. And you did a great job on the website. And if you guys want to check it out again, some Kyle's work and a little bit of my work, to, you know, some creative direction and what have you, it's thatisgoodtoknow.com. Kyle, as far as, you know, one of the challenges in the industry is with these themes and content management systems like, you know, WordPress or Wix or others, is just the competition, you know, that's out in the marketplace. Because, you know, not only from individuals that say, hey, I need to build a website, I can get it done, I think I can, you know, spend $500 or something like that and, you know, get a year access to Wix or, you know, what have you. What are some of the biggest challenges that you see someone that you go through with that mentality? Like, I can do this myself. You know, where does it succeed and where does it fail?
The biggest issue I've seen on something like that is the flow of the website. You know, if you load up a website and you have no idea what's going on, then you're not going to stick around. And that's a lot of what these business owners or, you know, bloggers or, you know, whatever industry they're in, and they try and do it themselves. If they don't understand the actual flow of getting people to know what's going on in the website, they're really going to have a lot of issues with any kind of success there. A lot of people don't understand whenever they're building something for themselves. Sure, they can make it look flashy, pretty. They can spend way too much time on that and really, really overdo it to the point where, you know, other people view it and they say, oh, wow, that just gave me a headache.
Right, right. I think one of the challenges that, you know, people have is just the tool themselves. It's like anything, right? You know, you only use a little bit of its capability because you don't really know how to do it or have the time to really spend in there. And then it's just a lot to do, right? You know, if I tell people when I talk to them about web development and stuff like that, and like, hey, if you got, you know, 50 hours of your time and you want to build your own website, you know, knock yourself out. And because, you know, there's a learning curve. You got to get in there and understand how to use the tool. You got to understand how it does things. You got to, you know, probably break some stuff. You probably lose some stuff. And then, you know, it doesn't guarantee the technical knowledge of like connecting it to your domain or, you know, publishing it and making it live or doing all that type of stuff. You can talk to us a little bit about, do you agree with that a lot of times?
Oh, absolutely. I can't tell you the number of times where I've built a website and, you know, the client wants to be able to do things themselves. And I've spent hours putting together instructional videos, which, based on the aftermath of them contacting me and saying, hey, I broke something, I really don't think that they went through the instructional videos or had a difficult time understanding. And I do my best to do a very good breakdown, but with so many tools, it's so hard to remember how to integrate things, how to do things the right way, and how to not break something. And then on top of that, putting a website up doesn't mean it's going to be seen. You have to make sure that you do things so that Google's actually going to see it, which is the SEO optimization. And if you don't know how to do that, even on a basic level, you're never even going to be seen.
Yeah, 100%. You know, there's a lot that goes into building a website. I mean, it's been commoditized over the years, that's for sure. And it's been, you know, I almost say the industry's kind of been bastardized per se. Where not necessarily like, you know, in the small, the medium sized business, I think it has. I think big businesses really understand the value of it, but they have a ton of different resources that they're putting in. They have a team that works for them, their digital marketing team, they have, you know, a web team, they have a lot of resources, you know, they see the value in it. And then there's, you know, there's a gap, you know, from the small business owner that just like, you know, I want to do this myself and I got $500 or I got, you know, a few hundred dollars. And the gap has just grown very, very wide. This is Jeff Stanislow, your host of That Is Good to Know. We're talking with Kyle King from KDI Media and Chief Internet Marketer. And Kyle actually built www.thatisgoodtoknow.com for this radio show, and he's done a lot of work for me and is a seasoned web developer expert. And so, you know, getting back to this divide, Kyle, you know, your skill set plays a different role where you not only know how to get the end result, but you can use the tools to get so. So you kind of find a nice little hybrid of, you know, being able to provide value at a reasonable cost, you know, where you're not spending, you know, $10,000 or more on a website, you know, for, you know, a small business. You can still get it done for a few thousand dollars, but professionally.
Yes, exactly. And that's one of the things that I like to be able to cater to is, you know, those people that are trying to get started and trying to build something and trying to make a footprint without having to completely destroy their finances. I mean, I've seen websites that, you know, you can talk to the person who owns it. It says, oh, I paid $15,000 to have this built. It's okay. Well, looking at it, might have taken 40 or 50 hours. So you're paying quite a lot per hour. You know, that goes far beyond mine. Whereas I have sites that I've built for 1,000, 2,000, 3,000. It all depends on the needs of the site and how much time needs to be put into it. It's not just, how much is in your bank account?
Right, right.
How much can you get approved for?
And at least you know when you're doing the work, it's going to get done and it's going to go online, you know. Kyle, we've covered a lot here today and we got a couple minutes left. I'd like to have you come back on the second half of the show here. And we're going to, you know, dive into some more of this web development world because I think it takes a little bit more time to cover it all. You know, before we head into the break, you know, we're going to talk about the future of web development too on the second half here. But before we enter the break, why don't you, you know, just give us a quick insight on what your favorite website is. What's your favorite website? We got about a minute.
My favorite website, I really have a difficult time with that. I don't really spend a lot of time on social media. So I can't really go that route. I'd have to say the Drag Illustrated website. I've spent a lot of time on there, but I also know the owner and have done quite a bit of work on it. And I really do enjoy how far it's come along since I've started working with them on it. And you know, I enjoy the articles, the way it's put together and how smoothly everything runs.
Cool. Cool. And what's the website URL?
That is www.dragillustrated.com.
Okay. And what's it focused on?
So it focuses on drag racing, and it's all professional drag racing. They have a lot of articles about the drivers. They have big articles on, you know, all kinds of actually different things. But I think the biggest one that I had seen was a very famous driver retiring recently.
We'll have to check that out, Kyle. We're going to come bring you back after the break. This is Jeff Stanislow at That Is Good to Know, www.thatisgoodtoknow.com. Thanks, Tampa, for tuning in. Come back for part two.